Poison-induced visions took over. Kane reached for her throat, and she flung herself backward. All that he managed to grab was her amulet. With a resounding snap, the eye of Elena ripped from her neck. The sunlight disappeared, the bloodbane seizing control of her mind again, and Selena found herself before an army of the dead. The shadowy figure that was Kane raised an arm, dropping the amulet upon the ground. They came for her. Chapter 49. Dorian watched in wide-eyed terror as Selena thrashed on the ground, waving away things they couldn't see. What was happening? Had there been something in that wine? But there was also something abnormal about the way Kane just stood there, smiling. Was there actually something there that they couldn't see? She screamed. It was the most horrible noise he'd ever heard. "Stop it now," he said to Kaol, as his friend rose from his spot near the ring. But Kaol only gaped at the flailing assassin, his face pale as death. She kicked and punched at nothing as Kane squatted over her and hit her in the mouth. Blood flowed freely. It wouldn't stop until his father said something, or Kane knocked her truly unconscious. Or worse. He had to remind himself that any interference, even trying to say that her wine had been drugged, might result in her disqualification. She crawled away from Kane, her blood and saliva pooling onto the ground. Someone stepped beside Dorian, and from her intake of breath, he knew it was Nehemia. She said something in Eelway and walked to the very edge of the ring. Tucked close to the folds of her cloak, nearly concealed there, her fingers were rapidly moving, tracing symbols in the air. Kane stalked to where Selena panted, her face white and red. She eased herself into a kneeling position and stared without seeing at the ring, at everyone, at something beyond them, perhaps. She was waiting for him to kill her. Kneeling on the ground, Selena gasped for breath, unable to find her way out of the hallucination and back into reality. Here, the dead surrounded her, waiting. The shadow thing that was Kane stood nearby, watching, his burning eyes his only distinguishing feature. Darkness rippled around Kane like shreds of clothing in the wind. She would die soon. Light and darkness. Life and death. Where do I fit in? The thought sent a jolt through her so strong that her hands fumbled for anything to use against him. Not like this. She'd find a way. She could find a way to survive. "I will not be afraid." She'd whispered that every morning in Endovir. But what good were those words now? A demon came at her, and a scream, not of terror or of despair, but rather a plea, burst from her throat, a call for help. The demon flapped back, as if her scream had startled it. Kane motioned it forward again. But then something extraordinary happened. Doors. Doors, doors all burst open. Doors of wood, doors of iron, doors of air and magic. And from another world, Elena swept down, cloaked in golden light. The ancient queen's hair glittered like a shooting star as she plummeted into Aurelia. Kane chuckled as he stepped toward the panting assassin and raised his sword, aiming at the assassin's chest. Elena exploded through the ranks of the dead, scattering them. Kane's sword came down. A gust of wind slammed into Kane so hard he was sent sprawling to the ground, his sword flying across the veranda. But locked in that dark, horrible world, Selena only saw the ancient queen barrel into Kane, knocking him down before the dead charged. Yet they were too late. Golden light erupted around her, shielding her from them, making the dead step back. Wind mightier than anything the onlookers had witnessed still roared through the veranda. They shielded their faces as the wind howled. The demons bellowed and surged again, but a sword rang and a demon fell. Black blood dripped from the blade, and the lips of Queen Elena were set in a feral snarl as she lifted her sword. It was a challenge, a dare to them to try to pass, to tempt her rage. Through fading eyes, Selena saw a crown of stars glittering atop Elena's head, her silver armor shining like a beacon in the blackness. The demons shrieked, and Elena stretched out a hand, golden light bursting from her palm. Forming a wall between them and the dead, she rushed to Selena's side and cupped her face in her hands.
"I cannot protect you," whispered the queen, her skin glowing.
Her face was different, too, sharper, more beautiful, her fey heritage.
"I cannot give you my strength."
She traced her fingers across Selena's brow.
"But I can remove this poison from your body."
Beyond them, Cain struggled to his feet. Wind slammed into him from all directions, keeping him trapped in place. From the far end of the veranda, a gust of wind sent the head of the staff rolling in her direction. It clattered to a stop, still a few tantalizing feet away. Elena put a hand on Selena's forehead.
"Take it," said the queen.
Selena strained to reach the remnant of the staff, her vision flashing between the sunny veranda and the endless dark. Her shoulder shifted slightly, and she stifled her scream of pain. At last, she felt the smooth carved wood, but also the pain from her aching fingers.
"Once the poison is gone, you will not see me. You will not see the demons," said the queen, sketching marks on Selena's brow.
Cain looked to the king as he retrieved his sword. The king nodded. Elena held Selena's face in her hands.
"Do not be afraid."
Beyond the golden wall of light, the dead shrieked and moaned Selena's name. But then Cain, bearing the shadowy dark thing that dwelled inside of him, stepped through the wall as if it were nothing, shattering it completely.
"Petty tricks, your majesty,"
Cain said to Elena.
"Just petty tricks."
Elena was on her feet in an instant, blocking Cain's path to Selena. Shadows rippled along the edges of his form, and his ember-like eyes flared. Cain's attention was on Selena as he said,
"You were brought here. All of you were. All the players in the unfinished game. My friends," he gestured to the dead, "have told me so."
"Be gone!" Elena barked, forming a symbol with her fingers. A bright blue light burst from her hands. Cain howled as it bit into him, the light slashing his shadow body into ribbons. Then it was gone, leaving the swirling crowd of the dead and damned, and Elena still before them. They charged, but she blasted them back with that golden shield, panting through her gritted teeth. Elena then dropped to her knees and grabbed Selena by the shoulders.
"The poison is almost gone," Elena said.
The world grew less dark. Selena could see cracks of sunlight. Selena nodded, pain replacing panic. She could feel the coldness of winter, feel her aching leg and the warm stickiness of her own blood all over her body. Why was Elena here, and what was Nehemia doing at the edge of the circle, her hands moving about so strangely?
"Stand," Elena said.
She was becoming translucent. Her hands drifted from Selena's cheeks, and a white light filled the sky. The poison left Selena's body. Cain, once again a man of flesh and blood, walked over to the sprawled assassin. Pain, 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 pain from her leg, from her head, from her shoulder and arm and ribs.
"Stand,"
Elena whispered again, and was gone. The world appeared. Cain was close, not a trace of shadow around him. Selena lifted the jagged remnant of the staff in her hand. Her gaze cleared. And so, struggling and shaking, Selena stood. Chapter 50. Selena's right leg could barely support her, but she gritted her teeth and rose. She squared her shoulders as Cain halted. The wind caressed her face and swept her hair back behind her in a billowing sheet of gold.
"I will not be afraid."
A mark burned on her forehead in blinding blue light.
"What's that on your face?" Cain asked.
The king rose, his brows narrowed, and nearby Nehemia gasped. With her aching, almost useless arm, she wiped the blood from her mouth. Cain growled as he swung his sword, making to behead her. Selena shot forward, as fast as an arrow of Diana. Cain's eyes went wide as she buried the jagged end of the staff in his right side, exactly where Kaol had said he would be unguarded. Blood poured onto her hands as she yanked it out, and Kane staggered back, clutching his ribs. She forgot pain, forgot fear, forgot the tyrant who stared at the burning mark on her head with dark eyes. She leapt back a step and sliced open Kane's arm with the broken end of the staff, ripping through muscle and sinew. He swatted at her with his other arm, but she moved aside, cutting the limb as well. He lunged, but she dashed away. Kane sprawled upon the ground. She slammed her foot into his back, and as he lifted his head, he found the knife-sharp remnant of the staff pressed against his neck. "Move, and I'll spill your throat on the ground," she said, her jaw aching. Kane went still, and for a moment she could have sworn his eyes glowed like coals. For a heartbeat, she considered killing him right there, so he couldn't tell anyone what he knew. About her, about her parents, about the word marks and their power. If the king knew any of that. Her hand trembled with the effort to keep from driving the spearhead into his neck, but Selena lifted her bruised face to the king. The councilmen began nervously clapping. None of them had seen the spectacle. None of them had seen the shadows in the gusting wind. The king looked her over, and Selena willed herself to remain upright, to stand tall as he judged. She felt each second of silence like a blow to her gut. Was he considering whether there was a way out? After what seemed to be a lifetime, the king spoke.
"My son's champion is the victor," the king growled.
The world spun beneath her feet. She'd won. She'd won. She was free, or as close to it as she could come. She would become the king's champion, and then she would be free. It came crashing down upon her, and Selena dropped the bloody remnant of the staff on the ground as she removed her foot from Kane's back. She limped away, her breathing hard and ragged. She'd been saved. Elena had saved her. And she had won. Nehemia was exactly where she'd been standing before, smiling faintly, only... The princess collapsed, and her bodyguards rushed to her side. Selena made a move to her friend, but her legs gave out, and she fell to the tiles. Dorian, as if released from a spell, dashed to her, throwing himself to his knees beside her, murmuring her name again and again. But she barely heard him. Huddled on the ground, hot tears slid down Selena's face. She'd won. Through the pain, Selena began laughing. As the assassin laughed quietly to herself, head bowed to the ground, Dorian surveyed her body. The cut along her thigh wouldn't stop bleeding. Her arm hung limp, and her face and arms were a patchwork of cuts and rapidly forming bruises. Kane, his features set with fury, stood not too far behind, blood seeping through his fingers as he clutched his side. Let him suffer. "She needs a healer," he said to his father. The king said nothing. "You, boy," Dorian snapped to a page. "Fetch a healer, as fast as you can." Dorian found it difficult to breathe. He should have stopped it when Kane first hit her. He should have done something other than watch when she had so clearly been drugged. She would have helped him. She wouldn't have hesitated. Kaol even had helped her. He'd knelt down beside the edge of the ring. And who had drugged her? Carefully putting his arms around Selena, Dorian glanced toward Caltaine and Parrington. In doing so, he missed the look exchanged between Kane and his father. The soldier pulled out his dagger. But Kaol saw. Kane raised his dagger to strike the girl in the back. Without thinking, without understanding, Kaol leapt between them and plunged his sword through Kane's heart. Blood erupted everywhere, showering Kaol's arms, his head, his clothes. The blood reeked, somehow, of death and decay. Kane fell, hitting the ground hard. The world became silent. Kaol watched the last breath issue from Kane's mouth, watched him die. When it was over and Kane's eyes stopped seeing him, Kaol's sword clattered to the ground. He dropped to his knees beside Kane, but didn't touch him. What had he done? Kaol couldn't stop staring at his blood-soaked hands. He'd killed him. "Kaol?" Dorian breathed. In his arms, Selena had gone utterly still. "What have I done?" Kaol asked him. Selena made a small noise and began shaking. Two guards helped lift him up, but Kaol could only stare at his bloody hands as they helped him away. Dorian watched his friend disappear into the castle, and then returned to the assassin. His father was already yelling about something. She trembled so badly that her wounds leaked further.
He shouldn't have killed him. Now he...
She let out a gasping breath.
She saved me, she said, burying her face in his chest. Dorian, she took the poison out of me. She... Oh, gods, I don't even know what happened.
Dorian had no idea what she was speaking about, but he held her tighter. Dorian felt the eyes of the council upon them, weighing and considering every word out of her mouth, every move or reaction of his. Damning the council to hell, Dorian kissed her hair. The mark on her brow had faded. What had that meant? What had any of it meant? Cain had touched a nerve in her today. When he had mentioned her parents, she'd lost control entirely. He'd never seen her that wild, that frantic. He hated himself for not acting, for standing like a damned coward. He would make it up to her. He would see to it that she was freed, and after that... After that. She didn't fight him when he carried her to her rooms, instructing the physician to follow. He was done with politics and intrigue. He loved her, and no empire, no king, and no earthly fear would keep him from her. No. If they tried to take her from him, he'd rip the world apart with his bare hands. And for some reason, that didn't terrify him. Caltaine watched in despair and bewilderment as Dorian carried the weeping assassin in his arms. How had she beaten Cain when she'd been drugged? Why was she not dead? Seated beside the glowering king, Parrington fumed. The councilman scribbled on paper. Caltaine drew the empty vial from her pocket. Hadn't the Duke given her enough bloodbane to seriously impair the assassin? Why wasn't Dorian crying over her corpse? Why wasn't she holding Dorian, comforting him? The pain in her head erupted, so violent that her vision went obsidian, and she stopped thinking clearly. Caltaine approached the Duke and hissed in his ear. "I thought you said this would work!" She fought to keep her voice in a whisper. "I thought you said this damned drug would work!" The king and the duke stared at her, and the councilman exchanged glances as Caltaine straightened. Then, slowly, the duke rose from his seat.
"What is that in your hand?" the duke asked a bit too loudly.
"You know what it is," she seethed, still trying to keep her voice down, even as the pain in her head turned into a thunderous roar. She could scarcely think straight. She could only answer to the fury inside her. "The damned poison I gave her," she murmured, only so Parrington could hear.
"Poison?" Parrington asked, so loud Caltaine's eyes grew wide. "You poisoned her? Why would you do that?"
He motioned to three guards.
Why did the king not speak? Why did he not come to her aid?
Parrington had given her the poison based on the king's command, hadn't he? The council members looked at her accusingly, whispering among themselves.
"You gave it to me," she said to the duke.
Parrington's orange brows furrowed.
"What are you talking about?"
Caltaine started forward.
"You scheming son of a harlot!"
"Restrain her, please,"
the duke said blandly, calmly, as if she were no more than a hysterical servant, as if she were nobody.
"I told you," the duke said into the king's ear, "that she'd do anything to get the crown."
The words were lost as she was dragged away. There was nothing, no emotion at all in the duke's face. He had played her for a fool. Caltaine struggled against the guards.
"Your Majesty, please! His Grace told me that you..."
The duke merely looked away.
"I'll kill you!"
she screamed at Parrington. She turned to the king, beseechingly, but he, too, looked away, his face crumpled with distaste. He wouldn't listen to anything she said, no matter what the truth was. Parrington had been planning this for too long, and she'd played right into his hands. He'd acted the besotted fool only to plunge a dagger into her back. Caltaine kicked and thrashed against the guard's grip, but the king's table became smaller and smaller. As she reached the doors to the castle, the duke grinned at her, and her dreams shattered. Chapter 51. The next morning, Dorian kept his chin high as his father stared at him. He didn't lower his gaze, no matter how many silent seconds ticked by. After his father had allowed Kane to toy with and hurt Selena for so long, when she'd clearly been drugged. It was a miracle Dorian hadn't snapped yet, but he needed this audience with his father.
"Well?" asked the king at last.
"I wish to know what will happen to Kaol, for killing Kane." His father's black eyes gleamed.
"What do you think should happen to him?"
"Nothing," said Dorian. "I think he killed him to defend the assassin."
"You think the life of an assassin is worth more than that of a soldier?"
Dorian's sapphire gaze darkened. "No, but I believe there was no honor in stabbing her in the back after she'd won. And if he ever found out that Parrington or his father had sanctioned it, or somehow played a hand in Caltaine drugging her..." Dorian's hands clenched into fists at his sides.
"Honor?"
The King of Otterland stroked his beard.
"And would you have slain me if I tried to kill her in such a manner?"
"You're my father," he said carefully. "I would trust that the choice you made was correct."
"What a cunning liar you are, almost as good as Parrington."
"So you won't punish Kaol?"
"I see no reason why I should rid myself of a perfectly capable captain of the guard."
Dorian sighed. "Thank you, father." The gratitude in his eyes was genuine.
"Is there anything else?"
asked the king offhandedly. Dorian glanced at the window, then back at his father, steeling his nerve once more. The second reason he'd come. "I want to know what you're going to do with the assassin," he said. And his father smiled in a way that made Dorian's blood run cold.
"The assassin," his father mused. "She was rather disgraceful at the duel. I don't know if I can have a blubbering woman as my champion, poison or no. If she'd been really good, she would have noticed the poison before she drank. Perhaps I should send her back to Endovir."
Dorian's temper flared with dizzying speed. "You're wrong about her," he began, but then shook his head. "You'll not see her otherwise, no matter what I tell you."
"Why should I see an assassin as anything but a monster? I brought her here to do my bidding, not to meddle in the life of my son and empire."
Dorian bared his teeth. He'd never dared look at his father like this. It thrilled him, and as his father slowly sat down, Dorian wondered if the king was considering whether he had become a genuine concern. To Dorian's surprise, he realized that he didn't care. Perhaps the time had come for him to start questioning his father. "She's not a monster," Dorian said. "Everything she's done, she did to survive."
"Survive? Is that the lie she told you? She could have done anything to survive, but she chose killing. She enjoyed killing. She has you at her beck and call, doesn't she? Oh, how clever she is. What a politician she'd have made if she'd been born a man."
A deep-throated growl rippled from Dorian. "You don't know what you're talking about. I have no attachment to her." But in that one sentence, Dorian made his mistake, and he knew that his father had found his new weak spot, the overwhelming terror that Selena would be ripped from him. His hands slackened at his sides. The King of Otterland looked at the Crown Prince.
"I shall send her my contract whenever I get around to it." "Until then, you'd do well to keep your mouth shut about it, boy."
Dorian drowned in the cold rage that lay inside of him. Yet an image came vividly to his mind. Nehemia handing Selena her staff at the duel. Nehemia was no fool. Like him, she knew that symbols held a special kind of power. Though Selena might be his father's champion, she'd gained the title using a weapon from Eelway. And while Nehemia might be playing a game that she had no chance of winning, Dorian couldn't deny that he greatly admired the princess for daring to play in the first place. Perhaps he might someday work up the nerve to demand retribution for what his father had done to those rebels in Eelway. Not today. Not yet. But maybe he could make a start. So he faced his father and kept his head held high as he said,
Parrington wishes to use Nehemia as some sort of hostage in order to make the Eelway rebels obey.
His father cocked his head.
Does he know? It's an interesting idea. Do you agree?
Though Dorian's palms began sweating, he schooled his features into neutrality as he said, No, I don't. I think we're better than that.
Are we? Do you know how many soldiers and supplies I've lost thanks to those rebels?
I do. But to use Nehemia like that is too risky. The rebels might use it to gain allies in other kingdoms, and Nehemia is beloved by her people. If you're worried about losing soldiers and supplies, then you'll lose far more if Parrington's plan ignites a full-on rebellion in Eelway. We'd be better off trying to win over Nehemia, trying to work with her to get the rebels to back off. That won't happen if we hold her hostage.
Silence fell, and Dorian tried not to fidget as his father studied him. Every heartbeat felt like a hammer striking his body.
At last, his father nodded.
I shall order Parrington to stop his planning, then.
Dorian almost sagged with relief, but he kept his face blank, kept his words steady as he said,
Thank you for hearing me out.
His father didn't reply, and without waiting for his dismissal, the prince turned on his heel and left. Selena tried not to wince at the pain that shot through her shoulder and leg as she awoke. Swaddled in blankets and bandages, she glanced at the clock on the mantelpiece. It was almost 1 in the afternoon. Her jaw hurt as she opened her mouth. Selena didn't need a mirror to know that she was covered in nasty bruises. She frowned, and her face throbbed at the movement. Undoubtedly, she looked hideous. She tried unsuccessfully to sit up. Everything hurt. Her arm was in a sling, and her thigh stung as her legs moved under the covers. She didn't remember much of what had happened after the duel yesterday, but at least she wasn't dead, either by Cain or the king's order. Her dreams last night had been filled with Nehemia and Elena, though more often than not, they disappeared into visions of demons and the dead. And those things Cain had said. The nightmares were so terrible that Selena barely slept, despite her pain and exhaustion. She wondered what had become of Elena's amulet. She had a feeling that the nightmares were due to its absence, and wished repeatedly for it to be restored to her, even though Cain was now dead. The door to her chambers opened, and she found Nehemia standing in the doorway. The princess only smiled slightly at her as she closed the bedroom door and approached. Fleetfoot lifted her head, her tail slapping against the bed as she wagged it in earnest.
Hello?
Selena said in Eelway.
How are you feeling?
Nehemia replied in the common tongue, without a hint of her accent. Fleetfoot climbed over Selena's sore legs to greet the princess.
Exactly how I look,
Selena said, her mouth aching at the movement. Nehemia took a seat on the edge of the mattress. As it shifted beneath her, Selena winced. Recovery wasn't going to be easy. Fleetfoot, done licking and sniffing at Nehemia, curled up in a ball between them and went to sleep. Selena buried her fingers in her velvet-soft ears.
I won't waste time dancing around the truth, Nehemia said. I saved your life at the duel.
She had a hazy memory of Nehemia's fingers making strange symbols in the air.
I didn't hallucinate all of that? And you saw everything, too?
Selena tried to sit up a little higher, but found it too painful to even move an inch.
No, you didn't, the princess said. And yes, I saw everything that you saw. My gifts enable me to see what others normally cannot. Yesterday, the bloodbane Caltain put in your wine made you see it, too. What lurks beyond the veil of this world? I don't think Caltain intended that effect, but it reacted to your blood in that way. Magic calls to magic. Selena shifted uncomfortably at the words.
Why did you pretend to not understand our language all these months?
Selena asked, eager to change the subject, but also wondering why the question stung as much as her wounds.
It was originally a defense,
Nehemia said, gently setting her hand on Selena's good arm.
You'd be surprised how much people are willing to reveal when they think you can't understand them. But with each day that I pretended to not know anything, being around you became harder and harder.
But why make me give you lessons?
Nehemia looked up at the ceiling.
Because I wanted a friend. Because I liked you.
So you truly were reading that book when I came across you in the library?
Nehemia nodded. I was doing research. On the word marks, as you call them in your language. I lied to you when I said I didn't know anything about them. I know all about them. I know how to read them. And how to use them. My entire family does, but we keep it a secret, passed down from generation to generation. They are only to be used as a last defense against evil, or in the gravest of illnesses. And here, with magic banned, well, even though the word marks are a different kind of power, I'm sure that if people discovered I was using them, I'd be imprisoned for it.
Selena tried to sit up straighter, cursing herself for being unable to move without wanting to faint from pain.
You were using them?
Nehemia nodded gravely.
We keep them a secret because of the terrible power that they wield. Terrible in that it can be used for good or evil, though most have used their power for wicked deeds. Since the moment I arrived here, I was aware that someone was using the word marks to call forth demons from the other worlds, realms beyond our realm. That fool Cain knew enough about the word marks to summon the creatures, but didn't know how to control them and send them back. I've spent months banishing and destroying the creatures he summoned. That is why I've sometimes been so absent.
Shame burned on Selena's cheeks. How could she ever have believed Nehemia was the one killing the champions? Selena lifted her right hand so she could see the scars on it.
That was why you didn't ask questions the night my hand was bitten. You used the word marks to heal me.
I still don't know how or where you came across the Ritterak, but I think that's a tale for another time. Nehemia clicked her tongue.
The marks you found under your bed were drawn by me.
Selena jolted a bit at that. She hissed as her body gave a collective, miserable throb of pain.
Those symbols are for protection. You have no idea what a nuisance it was to have to keep redrawing them every time you washed them away.
A smile tugged on the edges of Nehemia's full lips.
Without them, I think the Ritterak would have been drawn to you far sooner.
Why?
Because Cain hated you, of course, and wanted to eliminate you from the competition. I wish he weren't dead, so I might ask him where he learned to rip open portals like that. When the poison made you hover between worlds, his very presence somehow brought those creatures to the in-between to shred you apart. Though after all he's done, I think he deserved Kaol running him through like that.
Selena looked toward the bedroom door. She still hadn't seen Kaol since yesterday. Had the king punished him for all that he had done to help her?
That man cares for you more than either of you realize,
Nehemia said, a smile in her voice. Selena's face burned. Nehemia cleared her throat.
I suppose you wish to know how I saved you.
If you're so willing, Selena said, and the princess grinned.
With the word marks, I was able to open a portal into one of the realms of the other world, and let through Elena, first queen of Otterlin.
You know her? Selena raised an eyebrow.
No, but she answered my call for help. Not all realms are full of darkness and death. Some are filled with creatures of good, beings that, if our need is great enough, will follow us into Aurelia to help in our task. She heard your plea for help long before I opened the portal.
Is it possible to go to these other worlds? Selena vaguely recalled the word gates that she'd stumbled across in that book months and months ago. Nehemia studied her carefully.
I don't know. My schooling isn't yet completed. But the queen was both in and not in this world. She was in the in-between, where she could not fully cross over, nor could the creatures that you saw. It takes an enormous amount of power to open a true portal to let something through. And even then, the portal will close after a moment.
Cain could open it long enough for the Ritterak to come through, but then it would shut. So I had to open it long enough to send it back. We've been playing a cat-and-mouse game for months. She rubbed her temples.
You have no idea how exhausting it's been.
Cain summoned all of those things at the duel, didn't he? Nehemia contemplated the question.
Perhaps. They might have already been waiting. But I could only see them because of the bloodbane that Caltaine gave me?
I don't know, Alentia.
Nehemia sighed and stood.
All I know is that Cain knew the secrets of my people's power. Power that has long been forgotten in the lands of the north. And that troubles me.
At least he's dead, Selena offered, then swallowed.
But in that place, Cain didn't look like Cain. He looked like a demon. Why?
Perhaps the evil he kept summoning seeped into his soul and twisted him into something he was not.
He talked about me, like he knew everything.
Selena clenched the blankets.
Something flickered in Nehemia's gaze.
Sometimes the wicked will tell us things just to confuse us, to haunt our thoughts long after we've faced them.
He would be delighted to know you're still fretting over whatever nonsense he said. Nehemia patted her hand.
Don't give him the satisfaction of knowing that he's still troubling you. Put those thoughts from your mind.
At least the king doesn't know about any of this. I can't imagine what he'd do if he had access to that kind of power.
I can imagine a great deal,
Nehemia said softly.
Do you know what the word mark is that burned on your forehead?
Selena stiffened.
No. Do you?
Nehemia gave her a weighing look.
No, I do not, but I have seen it there before. It seems to be a part of you, and I do worry what the king thinks of it. It's a miracle he hasn't questioned it further.
Selena's blood went cold, and Nehemia quickly added,
Don't worry. If he wanted to question you, he would have done it already.
Selena let out a shuddering breath. Why are you really here, Nehemia? The princess was quiet for a moment.
I will not claim ties of allegiance to the King of Otterlin. You know this already.
And I'm not afraid to tell you that I came to Rifthold only for the excellent view it offered of his movements, of his plans.
You truly came here to spy?
Selena whispered.
If you want to put it that way.
There is nothing I wouldn't do for my country.
No sacrifice too great to keep my people alive and out of slavery, to keep another massacre from happening.
Pain flickered across her eyes.
Selena's heart twisted.
You're the bravest person I've ever met. Nehemia stroked Fleetfoot's coat.
My love for Eowe drowns out my fear of the King of Otterlin. But I will not involve you, Alentia.
Selena almost sighed with relief, though it shamed her to feel that way.
Our paths might be intertwined,
But I think you must continue to travel your own road for now. Adjust to your new position.
Selena nodded and cleared her throat. I won't tell anyone about your powers.
Nehemia smiled sadly. And there shall be no more secrets between us. When you are better, I'd like to hear how you got entangled with Elena.
She glanced down at Fleetfoot.
Do you mind if I take her for a walk? I need to feel the wind on my face today.
Of course, Selena said. She's been cooped up here all morning.
As if the dog understood, she jumped off the bed and sat at Nehemia's feet.
I'm glad to have you as my friend, Alentia,
the princess said.
I'm even gladder to have you guarding my back, Selena said, fighting a yawn. Thank you for saving my life.
Twice now, actually. Or perhaps more.
Selena frowned.
Do I even want to know how many times you secretly saved me from one of Cain's creatures?
Not if you want to sleep tonight.
Nehemia kissed the top of her head before walking to the door, Fleetfoot in tow. The princess paused in the doorway, though, and tossed something to Selena.
This belongs to you.
One of my guards picked it up after the duel.
It was the eye of Elena.
Selena wrapped a hand around the hard metal of the amulet.
Thank you.
When Nehemia had left, Selena smiled, despite all that she had just learned, and closed her eyes. The amulet gripped in her hand. She slept more soundly than she had in months. Chapter 52. Selena awoke the next day, unsure what time it was. There had been a knock on her door, and she blinked the sleep from her eyes in time to see Dorian enter. He stared at her for a moment from the doorway, and she managed a smile.
Hello,
she said hoarsely. She remembered him carrying her, holding her down as the healers stitched her leg. He came forward, his steps heavy.
You look even worse today,
he whispered. Despite the pain, Selena sat up.
I'm fine,
she lied. She wasn't. Kane had cracked one of her ribs, and it ached every time she breathed. He clenched his jaw, staring out the window.
What's the matter with you?
She asked. She tried to reach out to grab his jacket, but it hurt too much, and he was too far.
I don't know, he said.
The vacant, lost look in his eyes increased the tempo of her heart.
I haven't been able to sleep since the duel.
Here,
she said as gently as she could, patting a space beside her.
Come sit.
Obediently, he sat, though he kept his back to her as he put his head in his hands and took several deep breaths. Selena gingerly touched his back. He stiffened, and she almost pulled away. But his spine relaxed, and he continued his controlled breathing.
Are you ill?
She asked.
No,
he mumbled.
Dorian?
What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
He said, keeping his face in his hands.
One minute you were walloping Grave, and the next Kane was beating the living daylights out of you.
You lost sleep because of that?
I can't...
He groaned. She gave him a moment, letting him sort through his thoughts.
I'm sorry,
he said, removing his hands from his face and straightening. She nodded. She wouldn't push him.
How are you truly feeling?
The fear still lay beneath his words. Awful, she said cautiously, and I suspect I look as bad as I feel. He smiled slightly. He was trying to fight it, whatever feeling had been hounding him.
I've never seen you look lovelier. He eyed the bed. Do you mind if I lie down? I'm exhausted.
She didn't object as he removed his boots and unbuttoned his jacket. With a groan, he stretched out beside her, putting his hands on his stomach. She watched him close his eyes and let out a long breath through his nose. Some semblance of normalcy returned to his face.
How's Kaol?
She asked, tensing. She remembered the spray of blood in his staring, horrified face. Dorian opened an eye.
He'll be fine. He took yesterday and today off. I think he needs it.
Selena's heart tightened.
You shouldn't feel responsible,
he said, turning onto his side to look directly into her face.
He did what he saw fit.
Yes, but...
No,
insisted Dorian.
Kaol knew what he was doing.
He brushed a finger down her cheek. His finger was icy, but she held it in her shiver.
I'm sorry,
he said again, taking his finger from her face.
I'm sorry I didn't save you.
What are you talking about? That is what you've been agonizing over?
I'm sorry I didn't stop Kane the moment I knew something was wrong. Caltaine drugged you, and I should have known... I should have found a way to prevent her from doing it. And when I realized you were hallucinating, I'm sorry I didn't find a way to stop it.
Green skin and yellow fangs flashed before her eyes, and Selena's aching fingers curled into a fist.
You shouldn't be sorry,
she said, not wanting to speak about the horrors that she'd seen, or of Caltaine's treachery, or what Nehemia had confided in her.
You did as anyone would have, should have done.
If you'd interfered, I would have been disqualified.
I should have sliced Kane open the moment he laid a hand on you. Instead, I stood there as Kaol knelt at the sidelines. I should have been the one to kill Kane.
The demons faded, and a smirk spread.
You're starting to sound like an assassin, my friend.
Perhaps I spend too much time around you.
Selena moved her head from the pillow to rest in the soft space between his shoulder and chest. Heat rushed through her, though her body almost seized up in agony as she turned over. Selena put her injured hand on his stomach. Dorian's breath was warm on her head, and she smiled as he brought his arm around her, cupping her shoulder. They were silent for a while.
Dorian?
She began, and he flicked her on the nose.
Ow,
she said, wrinkling her nose. Though her face was peppered with bruises, miraculously, Kane hadn't marred her in any permanent way, though the cut on the leg would leave yet another scar.
Yes,
he said, resting his chin on her head. She listened to the sound of his heart beating, the steadiness of it.
When you retrieved me from Endovir, did you actually think I'd win?
Of course. Why else would I have bothered to journey so far to find you?
She snorted onto his chest, but he gently lifted her chin. His eyes were familiar, like something she'd forgotten.
I knew you'd win the moment I met you,
he whispered, and her heart writhed as she understood what lay before them. Though I'll admit that I didn't quite see this coming. And no matter how frivolous and twisted that competition was, I'm grateful it brought you into my life. As long as I live, I'll always be thankful for that.
Do you intend to make me cry, or are you just foolish?
Dorian leaned forward and kissed her. It made her jaw hurt. Seated on his glass throne, the King of Otterland stroked Nothung's pommel. Parrington knelt before him, waiting. Let him wait. Though the assassin was his champion, he had yet to send her contract. She was close with both his son and Princess Nehemia. Would appointing her somehow be a risk? But the captain of the guard trusted the assassin well enough to save her life. The king's face became like stone. He wouldn't punish Kaol Westfall, if only to avoid Dorian raising hell in the captain's defense. If only Dorian had been born a soldier, not a reader. But there was a man somewhere in Dorian, a man who could be honed into a warrior. Perhaps a few months at the battlefront would do him some good. A helmet and a sword could do wondrous things to a young man's temperament. And after that show of will and power in his throne room, Dorian could be a strong general, if he was pushed. And as for the assassin, once her injuries were healed, what better person to have at his bidding? Besides, there were no others in whom he could place his trust. Selaena Sardothian was his best and only choice now that Cain was dead. The king traced a mark on the glass arm of his seat. He was well-versed in word marks, but he'd never seen one like hers. He would find out. And if it were an indication of some fell deed or prophecy, he'd have the girl hanging by nightfall. Seeing her thrash about while drugged had almost convinced him to order her death. But then he'd felt them. Felt the angry and furious eyes of the dead. Someone had interfered and saved her. And if these creatures both protected and attacked her, perhaps she was not a person to die at his command. Not before he discovered the meaning of her mark. For now, though, he had more important things to worry about.
Your manipulation of Kaltane was interesting, said the king at last.
Parrington remained kneeling.
Were you using the power on her?
No. I've relaxed it recently, as you suggested, the duke replied, rotating the obsidian ring around his thick finger. Besides, she was starting to look noticeably affected, drained and pale, and she even mentioned the headaches. The treachery of Lady Kaltane was disturbing, but had he known of Parrington's plan to reveal her character, even to prove how easily she'd adapt to their plans and how strong her determination ran, he would have prevented it. Such a public revelation only brought about irritating questions.
It was clever of you to experiment on her.
She's become a strong ally and still suspects nothing of our influence.
I have high hopes for this power,
the king confided, looking at his own black ring.
Cain proved the physical transformative effects, and Kaltane proves the ability to influence thoughts and emotions. I would like to test its full ability to hone the minds of a few others.
Part of me wishes Kaltane hadn't been so susceptible, grumbled Parrington. She wanted to use me to get to your son, but I don't want the power to turn her into Cain. Despite myself, I don't like the thought of her rotting in those dungeons for long.
Do not fear for Kaltane, my friend. She won't remain in the dungeons forever. When the scandal has been forgotten and the assassin is busy with my work, we'll make Kaltane an offer she can't refuse. But there are ways of controlling her if you think she can't be trusted.
Let's first see how the dungeons change her mind, Parrington said quickly.
Of course, it's only a suggestion.
They were silent, and the Duke rose. Duke, the king said, his voice echoing through the chamber. The fire in the mouth-shaped fireplace flickered, and the green light filled the shadows of the room.
We will soon have much to do in Aurelia.
Prepare yourself, and stop pushing your plan to use the Eelway Princess. It's attracting too much attention. The Duke only nodded, bowed, and strode out of the chamber.
Chapter 53. Selena leaned back in her seat and propped her feet on the table, balancing the chair precariously on its hind legs. She savored the stretch and release of tension in her stiff muscles and turned the page in the book she was holding aloft. Fleetfoot dozed beneath the table, snoring faintly. Outside, the sunny afternoon had transformed the snow into dripping, shimmering water that cast light about the whole bedroom. Her injuries had stopped being so irksome, but she still couldn't walk without limping. With any luck, she'd start running again soon. It had been a week since the duel. Philippa was already busy with the task of cleaning out Selena's closet to accommodate more clothing. All the clothing Selena planned to buy when she was free to venture into Rifthold and do some shopping for herself, once she had her outrageous salary as King's Champion, which she'd hopefully start receiving as soon as she signed her contract, whenever that would be. With Philippa occupied, Nehemia and Dorian had taken to attending her, and the prince often read aloud to her long into the night. When she finally did sleep, her dreams were filled with archaic words and long-forgotten faces, with word marks that glowed blue, with the king, and with a dead army summoned from the realms of hell. Upon waking, she did her best to forget them, especially the magic. Her doorknob clicked, and her heart leapt into her throat. Was it time to finally sign her contract with the king? But it wasn't Dorian or Nehemia, not even a page. The world stopped when Kaol entered instead. Fleetfoot rushed to him, tail wagging. Selena almost fell out of her chair as she removed her feet from the table and winced at the pain that shot through the wound on her leg. She was standing in an instant, but when she opened her mouth, she had nothing to say. After Kaol gave Fleetfoot a friendly rub on the head, the dog trotted back beneath the table, circled twice, and curled up. Why wouldn't he move from the doorway? Selena glanced at her nightgown and blushed as she noticed him staring at her bare legs.
How are your injuries? He asked.
His voice was soft, and she realized he wasn't staring at the amount of skin she was showing, but rather the bandage wrapped around her thigh. I'm all right, she said quickly. The bandage is just to elicit sympathy now. She tried to smile, but failed. I haven't seen you in a week. It had felt like a lifetime. Are you all right? His brown eyes met hers. Suddenly she was back at the duel, prostrate on the ground, Kane laughing behind her. But all she could see, all she could hear was Kaol as he knelt and reached for her. Her throat tightened. She had understood something in that moment, but she couldn't remember what. Maybe it had been a hallucination, too.
I'm fine, he said,
and she took a step toward him, all too aware of how short her nightgown was.
I just wanted to apologize for not checking in on you sooner.
She stopped barely a foot away from him and cocked her head. He wasn't wearing his sword. I'm sure you've been busy, she said. He only stood there. She swallowed and tucked a strand of her unbound hair behind an ear. She took another step closer to him, now having to tip her head back to look into his face. His eyes were so sorrowful. She bit her lip. You saved my life, you know. Twice. Kaol's brows narrowed slightly.
I did what I had to.
And that's why I owe you my gratitude.
You don't owe me anything, he said,
his voice strained, and when his eyes flickered, her heart tightened. She took his hand in hers, but he pulled it away.
I just wanted to see how you were. I have to go to a meeting, he said,
and she knew he was lying. Thank you for killing Kane. He stiffened. I still remember how it felt when I made my first kill. It wasn't easy. He dropped his gaze to the floor.
That's why I can't stop thinking about it. Because it was easy. I just took my sword and killed him. I wanted to kill him.
He pinned her with his stare.
He knew about your parents. How?
I don't know, she lied. She knew very well. Kane's access to the other worlds, to the in-between, to whatever all that nonsense was, had given him the ability to see into her mind, her memories, her soul. Beyond, perhaps. A chill went through her. Kaol's face softened.
I'm sorry they died like that.
She shut down everything but her voice as she said, "It was very long ago." It had been raining, and I thought the dampness on their bed as I climbed in was from the open window. I awoke the next morning and realized it wasn't rain. She took a jagged breath, one that erased the feeling of their blood on her skin. Aerobin Hommel found me soon after that.
"I'm still sorry," he said.
"It was very long ago," she repeated. "I don't even remember what they looked like." That was another lie. She remembered every detail of her parents' faces. "Sometimes I forget that they ever existed." He nodded, more to confirm that he'd heard her than that he understood. "What you did for me, Kaol." She tried again, not even with Kane, but when you—
"I have to go,"
he interrupted, and half turned away. "Kaol," she said, grabbing his hand and whirling him to face her. She saw only the haunted gleam in his eyes before she threw her arms around his neck and held him tightly. He strained, but she crushed her body into his, even though it still aggravated her wounds to do so. Then, after a moment, his arms wrapped around her, keeping her close to him, so close that as she shut her eyes and breathed him in, she couldn't tell where he ended and she began. His breath was warm on her neck as he bent his head, resting his cheek against her hair. Her heart beat so quickly, and yet she felt utterly calm, as if she could have stayed there forever and not minded. Stayed there forever and let the world fall apart around them. She pictured his fingers, pushing against that line of chalk, reaching for her despite the barrier between them. "Is everything all right?" Dorian's voice sounded from the doorway. Kaol pulled away from her so fast that she nearly stumbled back.
"Everything's fine," he said, squaring his shoulders.
The air had turned cold, and Selena's skin prickled as his warmth vacated her body. She had a hard time looking at Dorian, as Kaol nodded to the prince and left her chambers. Dorian faced her as Kaol left. But Selena remained watching the door, even after Kaol had it shut behind him.
"I don't think he's recovered well from killing Kane," Dorian said.
"Obviously," she snapped. Dorian raised his brows and she sighed. "I'm sorry."
"You two looked like you were in the middle of something," Dorian said cautiously.
"It's nothing, I just felt bad for him is all."
"I wish he hadn't run off that quickly. I have some good news."
Her stomach twisted.
"My father stopped dragging his feet about drawing up your contract. You're to sign it in his council chamber tomorrow."
You mean I'm officially the king's champion?"
"It turns out he doesn't hate you as much as he let on. It's a miracle he didn't make you wait longer."
Dorian winked. 4 years. 4 years of servitude, and then she'd be free. Why had Kaol left so soon? She looked to the door, wondering if she could catch him in the hall. Dorian put his hands on her waist.
"I suppose this means we'll be stuck with each other for a while longer."
He lowered his face to hers. He kissed her, but she stepped out of his arms. Dorian, I'm the king's champion."
She choked on a laugh as she said it. "Yes, you are," Dorian replied, approaching her again.
But she kept her distance as she looked out the window, to the dazzling day beyond. The world was wide open, and hers for the taking. She could step over that white line. She shifted her gaze to him. "I can't be with you if I'm the king's champion."
"Of course you can. We'll still have to keep it a secret, but—"
"I have enough secrets. I don't need another one."
"So I'll find a way to tell my father and mother." He winced slightly.
"To what end? Dorian, I'm your father's minion. You're the crown prince." It was true, and if this relationship became something more, then it would only complicate matters when she eventually left the castle. Not to mention the complications of being with Dorian while she served as his father's champion. And whether he admitted it or not, Dorian had his own obligations to fulfill. Though she wanted him, though she cared for him, she knew a lasting relationship wouldn't end well. Not when he was the heir to the throne. His eyes darkened.
"Are you saying that you don't want to be with me?"
"I'm saying that I'm going to leave in 4 years, and I don't know how this could possibly end well for either of us. I'm saying I don't want to think about the options.
The sunlight warmed her skin, and the weight around her shoulders drifted away. I'm saying that in 4 years I'm going to be free, and I've never been free in my entire life. Her smile grew.